Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs post-game show podcast presented by PointsBet. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Luke Stuckmeyer and Cody Del Mendo with Ryan Herrera hopefully joining us in just a little bit from beautiful Wrigley Field. Cubs beat the Reds 6-1 and finish off a sizzling month of September. Cody, you cracking a beer there for the beginning of the podcast?
I am cracking a White Claw because that's all I have in my fridge. black cherry.
Yeah. All right. We will get to Casual Friday with Cody, which was the big event out at Wrigley Field before the game, Murphy's Bleachers. In just a sec, we got to get to Adrian Sampson first. Like I keep saying, like, hey, he's a nice depth piece, this and that, but you got to pay some respect to what he's doing right now. You know, I know he doesn't have overwhelming velocity. He doesn't have overwhelming stuff, but he's hitting all of his spots right now. And he's been doing it for like seven straight starts. Okay. So the Cubs win 6-1. They've won 9 of 10. And some of Sampson's numbers are unbelievable. Seven innings, one run again today, a 1.50 ERA. In the month of September, that's five straight quality starts. In each of the five games, one run or less, a total of three runs in the last five games. I mean, he's been two runs or less in his last seven starts. He's pitching like he's the ace of the staff. I don't know what to make of it because it's the end of the season, but he has pitched against some good teams, and I don't know how you wouldn't sign him back at this point. Now, I don't know if you can guarantee him a spot in the rotation. I just don't know. But, like, this is impressive. And I don't know how long it can last. But it's impressive nonetheless.
Right. So, Lawrence, shout out to the Log Dog. He's pulling up stats here that Ryan tweeted out after the game, right? Adrian Sampson is one of eight starting pitchers in 2022 to record at least five straight games of six or more innings pitched while allowing one or fewer earned runs. And that list includes Justin Verlander, Shane McClanahan, Zach Gallen, Robbie Ray, Sandy Alcantara, and Dylan Cease. There's a couple Cy Young, Cy Young eligible guys there, right? Like, I'm with you, Luke. Like, it's hard to say that you can't put this guy on the 40 man next year. Like,
right, that's what I mean. Like, I just don't know what to do with him. Like, but I don't know how you can't at least have him on the 40-man roster.
Right, and you know, we have, especially in recent days, with the talk of Hayden Wesneski, we have talked about like who should be in the starting rotation in 2022, and like Adrian Sampson, man, like I know he's 31. I think it's 31, but like, it's not like he's 35 and like not like, I would say he's impressed me more than Drew Smyly to this point, right? Like, that's how I feel. And to be honest with you, coming into the year, I thought the guy deserved a chance earlier because he pitched well at the end of last season too. You look at his major league numbers with the Cubs at the end of last year in the second half. Like, no one knows it because no one was paying attention because they traded off all the core and everything. But, like, he was good at the end of last year, too. It's not even just, like, this year. It's not like it's only been the second half. He got called up in, like, late May, I think. Like, he's been on this team for a while. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm with you. Like, I don't know. Like, would I rather the Cubs go sign, like, a Rodon or a DeGrom, someone like that, and then – you know, have Sampson as a depth piece? Yeah, but if the Cubs want to spend more money on position players, then, like, I'm okay with having him as a piece. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's what it comes down to is, like, what do the Cubs envision? Do they envision the fact that they need to get more help on the offense and defense in terms of position players, or do they think they need to get more pitching? And, well, this pitching infrastructure is a well-oiled machine. Like, I think we can say that at this point. And I know today faced the Reds, but, like, he's been doing it all season. Like, we keep going every 5 days. We're like, this guy is, you know, it's cool. Like, it's nice of him to eat innings for us, but like, he's been doing it for so long. And it's like, I don't think he's a top three rotation guy, but like, he's at least a 4-5 or like a depth piece. And to just in case if there's an injury or if you sustain an injury, obviously, or,
right,
you know, in the middle of your bullpen, come in like maybe an Alec Mills type role. Like, I know he's not throwing 95 plus, but like 93, 94 isn't awful. And like, again, like, he's going out here and shoving against good teams, in my opinion. I know today he shoved against the Reds, and you can argue they're a triple A team, but like, to me, it's like, if you're the Cubs, you're trying to learn about certain guys, right? And like, they've definitely been trying to learn about Adrian Sampson over the course of the season. And like, he just goes out there every fifth day and gives you quality innings. Like I said the other day about Marcus Stroman, everyone who's been hating on him because of all the money he's getting paid and all this shit. But like, Marcus Stroman's been giving you everything that you asked for, you know, for the maybe not so much of the money that you're asked for, but like basically what the Cubs are asking for, and that's quality innings. And well, Adrian Sampson's doing the same thing. Like, it's going to be very interesting to see what the Cubs do, because like, as much as I would love a Rodon or a Jacob DeGrom or a Sean Manaea or a Chris Bassett,
it's making them think. It's making them think.
Right. Yeah. And like, I think at this point, when you look at this team, it's like, this team needs more offense. This team needs more. It needs an improved defense. So if you want to invest more money at middle infield or whatever, you know, that conversation we're talking about, or if you want to go get yourself a outfielder to play all three positions, a la Aaron Judge or something like that, like, then I think that perhaps that maybe investing money more on position players or something like that makes more sense. But again, I still think, you know, you don't have to get the best arm in free agency, but getting an arm only helps. So I think they will definitely do that. But Adrian Sampson is definitely, he's definitely making a play, like making an argument for him be on this roster come opening day in 2023. And again, I understand it's the Reds. I understand that like, they're not good. And like, all that, understand it, but it's not like this is the first start. This is like, we have seen like 20 starts from Adrian Sampson. How many more do we need to see to be convinced that this guy deserves a spot on the 40 man?
Right. I mean, you said it. We were thinking early in the season, we basically had labeled him as Alec Mills 2.0, which may or may not have been fair, but that's what it seemed like. And I don't know, maybe that's still the case, but he's been so good right now. David Ross talking during the broadcast about, you know, between last year and this year, there's been a little up, not a huge uptick, but there's been an uptick in the fastball velocity. And he thinks that's really helped. And I know Ryan Dempster has said in many broadcasts that, you know, he's cutting that strike zone into quadrants and he's just like picking it apart. He's going, you know, outside, inside, outside, and he's just painting lines. I don't know if that's something that's sustainable or not, but it's been sustainable for sure for 7 starts now.
Right. And
PS5 was the first one that I can think of that remembered, that pointed out in our chat and was like, hey, what about just going after the position players and not signing that frontline starter? And at first I kind of thought, well, I don't know. I don't think that's the way to go. I think they need a frontline starter. And I still might believe that. I'm just starting to lean more and more towards, I don't want them to overspend on that starter, that frontline guy. I don't want them to overreach for that frontline guy, because the pool will be even better the following year. And it's where their strength is in the system. And frankly, it's the strength of the team right now is pitching depth. And he's just another piece of it. And I know Sean in the chat said, hey, you got to at least give him a shot at the 5th spot in the rotation next year. Okay, so let's just hypothetically say there's a
starter. You're going to give him that spot over Kyle Hendricks? Like, hey.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, what if Kyle Hendricks is healthy, right now we're all thinking, okay, let's just say it's Rodon or whoever. Let's say they get somebody that's a frontline starter. Then you go Stroman. Then you have Steele, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
You assume Hendricks is in there for sure, don't you?
I would say so.
I don't think Hendricks is done. I think Hendricks is going to be healthy. And when he's healthy, they're at the very least going to let him pitch a whole first half of the season before they start to make any determination on what's left in the tank for Kyle Hendricks.
But right, I mean,
you have Steele that you want to get a good look at. You have Thompson has proven that he deserves at least that opportunity. And I know we've gone back and forth about the long-term guy. And they were saying in the broadcast today about starters, you know, like he's gone an average of like five. The average in Major League Baseball for a start is 5 2/3. And that's right about where Sampson's gone. So that means that the guys like Keegan Thompson, the ability he has to give you two or three innings, that role is changing in baseball because guys aren't going eight innings anymore. Like to go seven is very rare. There's only been like 30 complete games, I think, this season. So I don't know. Maybe that is just as valuable. And that's something we've discussed so far this season, but I don't know what you do. Some people are ready to give up on Kyle Hendricks. I don't think you can. If he's healthy, you got to bring him back and you got to see what he's got. But I don't know how Sampson's certainly not at spring training and considered as one of the guys that could be in the starting rotation, at least competing for it. I agree with that.
Yeah. But I mean,
beyond that, I can't say anything. I don't know.
I wouldn't be upset if the Cubs decide to go to like a six man. Like, why not?
I wouldn't either. Unless the young guys are saying, no, we need to stay in that rhythm and go more often. If that's the case, let's say it's a five man, then there is an argument for Alzolay and Thompson to be in that bullpen and then just start using those guys as three inning guys, like instead of throwing a bullpen session, just going back out there and piggybacking starts with some of these guys and shortening the starts on your starters even more so than what they maybe are now, which is, you know, kind of crazy to think about. That's the way it is, but right. I could see that being very normal in Major League Baseball sooner rather than later, where you have four or five inning guy, just kind of like tag teaming and then put in a starter or a closer rather.
Absolutely.
You could see that.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this comment from the Jedi of Chicago. He says, with today's outing, Sampson is at a 3.09 ERA and 101.2 innings pitch. That's really solid for a three on a decent team. Now, again, I don't think Sampson is a three on a team next year if you're trying to go out and earn a playoff spot. But again, those numbers that you're seeing that the Jedi of Chicago put out there, like, you can't ignore that. Like, Maybe the Cubs don't need to go get like a mid-tier guy. Like, cause that's what I keep saying, right? Like if they're not going to get like a Rodon or a Manaea or a Bassett or a DeGrom, then give me a mid-tier guy. But maybe Adrian Sampson is that guy. I don't know. But like, you have so many guys though. And like, what brings me back to it is like, they're so flooded with like pitching. This brings me back to like the whole thing with Shohei Ohtani, Luke. You have so many guys who have pitched well.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Angels' direction is, but all I know is that they're selling the team. And you want to send some of these guys to the Angels and get yourself Shohei Ohtani? Fine. That's kind of the way I've looked at it. Again, and that's kind of the thinking that I've had, thinking that maybe you don't need to send Nico Hoerner. But again, there's other teams out there, and yeah, maybe you would have to. I don't know. Like, to me, the Cubs, as bad as they've been, they have been able to showcase so many different dudes who have been good. And yeah, would the Cubs be able to send Adrian Sampson in a trade for Shohei Ohtani? Absolutely not. But could afford to send some of these younger guys, get Shohei Ohtani back, and then you still have Adrian Sampson, and maybe he could be someone in that rotation. I don't know. But like right now, it's very blocked, right? Like you got – like we've named them all off, right? Like Stroman, Steele, Smiley.
Yeah.
You know, like
Wesneski looked like a guy Hendricks, that should be a starter. Yeah.
Right. And we're just assuming Hendricks is going to be in there based off the respect that he has with the organization.
Alzolay, Steele, Thompson.
Alzolay and Thompson. Like, there's a lot of guys there. Like, that's kind of the process that I've been thinking in my head with this whole thing with Ohtani over the last month and a half is, like, they have so much pitching. And the one thing that that team has always missed is pitching. So maybe that's it. I don't know. Like, that's kind of my thought process and thinking, like, maybe we're going to see a big trade like that that will free up opportunities for some guys. Again, I don't think Adrian Sampson is going to get you Shohei Ohtani or going to be part of a Shohei Ohtani trade. But, you know.
No, but if you trade for a guy like Ohtani and you have to give up your young pitching that's really good, Horton, like your recent first round draft picks.
Right. Cade Horton. Yeah.
Maybe it's Horton. Maybe it's Wesneski. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's both of them and Killian. But a guy like Sampson then allows you to, that's where you slide Sampson into a fourth or fifth starter in your rotation. If you have Ohtani and Stroman at the top, what the Cubs have right now is, in my memory, like, I've been watching the Cubs since early 70s, right? Early to mid 70s as a little kid. I don't remember more pitching depth in the organization. Now, we know more about young guys and the farm system now than we certainly did in the 70s, 80s, or 90s with Major League Baseball. I just don't remember the Cubs ever having this much pitching depth in the organization. Now, had they ever had better starters 1 through 5? Yes, obviously. This is a third place team that's done really well in this, or, you know, fairly well here in the second half, specifically with the starting pitching.
And a bad division.
But they don't have like two Cy Young. They don't have Lester and Hendricks like in 16 where guys
or Arrieta.
Or Arrieta. Like, you know, you had three guys you could say, oh, those are our aces, right?
Right, right.
They don't have that necessarily right now. You have some guys that are still trying to prove that, obviously. But beyond that, when you look at the organization, I've just never remembered this kind of depth pitching. And that's what they are trying to build. And usually when you trade from your strength. And so if they are going to make a move, you would start to think that these are the types of guys that they'll be moving. So,
it's very
great job by Sampson. No question.
Yeah. He had a great day. I mean, I didn't watch on television. Obviously I was at the ballpark out in left field, hanging out with my guy, Mai Tai guy, shout out. But you know, he had some quick innings. That game was, kind of slow at first because of the runs, but like that game kind of went by quick after the runs were scored, in my opinion. And, he just finds a way to give you quality innings, and I can't explain it. I don't understand why, but whatever the Cubs have done to help him, put him in a position to succeed, it's definitely not something we can ignore at this point. Cause like,
no.
I feel like a month ago we were like, maybe like, is he going to make the 40 man? I don't know. But like, he's done it for another month.
Yeah. We all kind of said, like, it seems like a numbers game. Like, are you going to keep him over some other guys? Cause you're trying to get a look at these young guys, and he's 30, and no matter how well he pitches, will he not be on that rot? I just don't see if the way he's finished, I don't see how that, you couldn't protect, you have to protect him. And so I see Jedi of Chicago saying Wood, Pryors, and Brano, Clement, Maddox. Yeah. That's like, other than 16, that's when you had this many good young prospects, but that's kind of where it sort of ended at that point. Like, I feel like it didn't go as deep. Now, maybe it's just because we didn't know the farm system as well. Then they did have great young pitching, and obviously things didn't work out, but
yeah.
That is also an example of why you hang on to all those young pitchers, because when Pryor and Wood started getting arm injuries, it was like, who do you go to next? And this is a situation where maybe you do have those guys. How did Casual Friday with Cody go? This was, you met at Murphy's. I saw some of the photos picked out. I'll say this, for the last Friday 120 at Wrigley Field this season, I mean, that's a top 10 weather day. Like, sitting in the bleachers had to be spectacular.
It was. I actually wore a hoodie I wore the classic, you know, you're wearing the shirt. I was wearing the hoodie today.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And it got so warm you had to take it off?
Yeah, yeah. I got so warm I had to take it off, and I'm wearing my classic I'm Ready to Be Hurt Again shirt. Shout out to Obvious Shirts for personalizing that for me. Shout out to my guy, Mai Tai Guy, right here. He's if you ever go hang out in left field, this is the guy that you need to know. There's Bleacher Jeff in this guy.
Yeah. Well, last time we saw him, he was breaking up a fight.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
he was trying to break up a fight.
Right, right. Anyway, so I'm going to be real with you, Luke. It wasn't like a gigantic turnout, but I did meet some new friends.
That's all that matters.
Who came in from Kansas City, and one of them had never been to Wrigley Field, and had before, but it was like an annual that they do every year. And I got to know I let them sit down at the table I was at Murphy's, and you know, we hung out for a good hour and a half and told them all about the podcast and everything like that. And Corey showed up, we had a good time, my girlfriend and her friend were there.
This was a little thrown together. It was informal. It was just kind of like, hey, I'm going to the final Friday 120.
Right.
Come hang out with me. Have a beer. I'm not buying it, but come hang out with me.
Exactly. And then this picture that the Law Dog is throwing up here. This is me and my girlfriend out in left field today.
Yo, look at the ray of sunshine coming in behind
you guys there. It was a beautiful day to go hang out at the Federal Landmark, as they call it.
The sunlight's a little bit different when you get in the fall. It's a little softer in the fall for the photographs.
Yeah. Yeah. And it helped that, you know, it was like 65, 70 degrees, right? It wasn't like 85, 90.
Yeah. Perfect.
So I get home. I'm not sweating bullets like I have in the past. You know what I mean?
Right. This is a day where you wanted to be sitting in the sun. Like, if you're in the shade, it might be a little cool. You probably need the jacket. But today was if you're going to sit in the bleachers or in the sun, today is the day to do it. When you get like 65 degrees and the sun feels like 75, that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I also met Lauren Wisdom for the first time. She's kind of popular on Cubs Twitter. And then I forgot her friend's name, but like, one of the cool things I saw today was it was her friend, and then I want to say like a dad of her friend. I guess they're season ticket holders, and then Mai Tai Guy as well. Like some bullpen, which when I looked at him, I was like, this guy does not look familiar. He looks like a bullpen coach. He came out of the bullpen in between innings multiple times and threw up signed baseballs with like a message on them to Mai Tai Guy and this other guy, and who I assume is a season ticket holder who comes all the time. And it was just like an appreciative thing given to them. Like, thank you for always being here. You're a true fan, blah, blah, like that kind of thing. And like, that's one of those things that makes me proud to be a Cubs fan, because like the people I met at Murphy's, they're all from Kansas City. Right. And they were telling me about what it's like to go to Royals games. And like, they straight up told me like, they can't sell their season tickets. Like no one wants to go watch them. Well, yeah, Wrigley Field isn't packed. It's not 40,000 deep right now, right? But people still want to go. People still want to go enjoy that ballpark experience. And like, that's, to me, that's the one thing I have hanging on here at the end, Luke, right? Like, there's something different about being able to go to Wrigley Field on a Friday at 1:20 and like, just enjoy the vibes, right? And like, that was really cool when I saw that guy throw up those two balls up to those guys and like get to read, like they showed me the ball and like they had like an actual message on them saying like, thank you for being a true fan. Like, we appreciate you. Don't take that for granted, that type of thing. And like, for me, like I take that like very, you know, hard, because like you look at a lot of the teams all around the league and you just don't have that. And I know people can spin that as like, you know, Ricketts just steal money for people again, whatever. But I don't know. I feel like that's always been a thing with Cubs fandom before 2015, 2016. And like, that's one of the reasons why I was a Cubs fan. Like when I was a kid, the team was so bad for most years. And like, you would still see people at the ballpark, man. Like, That's something that I've always been able to hang on to. And you can't say that we're a bunch of bandwagons. You can't say any of that kind of thing. Like, people care about this team. People care about this franchise. People care about going to Wrigley Field and like enjoying their time. So it was a cool moment to see that and interact with those guys. So I just wanted to say that here on this podcast today.
Also, hats off to the grounds crew for getting the logo. The way they, not only the way they cut the grass and put the lines down and stuff, but the Cubs logo out there and then the giant thank you. I was listening to Pat Hughes at the very beginning of the broadcast and he was joking. Good thing they have people that spell, because that could have been a viral moment if you misspell thank you somehow, or you just messed it up just a little bit. There's no way to fix the grass after you cut it. I would love to know how they do that.
So Pat Hughes did the TV broadcast?
No, I was running to Chipotle to get carry out. I brought it home and I caught the first three batters of the game on the radio. And he was describing it. And then when I came back and I saw it on television, I'm like, oh yeah, I mean, that's large. Like, there's no way to cover it up if you mess it up. I believe, and I'm not a master of lawns or anything. I believe the way they do that is they're not actually cutting the grass lower in a section. They're cutting it in a different direction, but they're also trailing the lawnmowers with something that's weighted down. So it's bending the grass blades like over, like in half, even though they're short, it's bending them over. And that's how you get the different colors. But how you do that with something as tiny as that logo and the words and stuff, I don't know. I understand how you can do it in straight lines, which I think everybody should try to do that to their lawn, because that would be unbelievable if you had it that way. But to come up with the logos like that, it's pretty cool to watch. Like, I know everybody says the sod father's on the south side. There's no prettier ballpark than Wrigley Field when it's green, and or in this case, the ivy's just starting to turn colors a little bit. Cody, you got some points bet love for us this weekend. I believe the Bengals yesterday.
I did have the Bengals yesterday, but I did have the under. I did hit the under.
Oh, no, you had the Dolphins yesterday, but you had the under, right?
Well, yeah. I had the Dolphins, and I had the under. And I had Tyreek Hill to score a first touchdown. It didn't work out, but you know what? I made my money back today, Luke, when I had a hit parlay, $10 hit parlay of Nico Horner, Seiya Suzuki, Ian Happ, and Christopher Morel at plus 320, $10. I won like $42.
There you go.
You know, you love to see that, Luke. And, you know, again, points bet, they give you really good odds, and that helps. And I'm going to take that momentum into this weekend with college football and the NFL. This football season, PointsBet is bringing you a better way to bet live on games, which means before this ad is over, you can place a live same game parlay, bet on the next drive to be a touchdown, and cash out your live second half over bet. With PointsBet, you can access to you. You have access to more live NFL or live football markets than ever before. Build the perfect live same game parlay by combining your favorite bets anytime during the game, including spreads, totals, player props, and more, guys. Choose the outcome of the next drive and the next points with PointsBet lightning bets. So whether you are on the move or on the couch, do it live with PointsBet. Download the PointsBet app today and sign up with code CHGO to get your first two bets risk-free up to $2,000. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
These things are always easier before you sit next to my Thai guy in the bleachers. That's what we've learned today. By the way, Game Time is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets and sports concerts and shows. Ever dreamed of sitting in a seat at the 50-yard line courtside? Behind home plate, floor seats so close you can have the sweat of your favorite artist and band hit you right in the face. It's possible with the Game Time app. Biggest last minute price drops can be found on seats that you thought you never could buy. You won't find a better deal this season. Just 2 days left for Cubs game tickets. Cody, did you use it for your tickets today?
I did. I definitely used Game Time on my way in. I got them I got me and my girlfriend's tickets for less than $50. Less than 50 bucks. It was great.
And of course, you're going to want to start using them for Bears tickets. I saw we've announced our next Bears tailgate coming up in early November. So when you head out to Soldier Field or whatever it might be, or a concert at the United Center coming up this winter, Game Time's the way to go. You won't find a better deal. Created by the fans, for the fans, guaranteed lowest price. And if you love CHGO, you're going to love Game Time. Best way to support us, buy your tickets through the link in the podcast and YouTube descriptions. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app now and score the best seats to all your favorite events. Again, guaranteed lowest price. That is the way to go. Game Time.
Luke, let me, yeah. Can I tell you that I walked right by Jed Hoyer and Miguel Montero today at the Federal Land.
Really?
I walked right by them.
Did you challenge Miggy to a race?
I should have. I should have.
Should have said Miggy, huh?
Quick but race. So what happened was, is I went to the bathroom. It's like, I want to say the sixth or seventh inning. I want to say seventh inning. I went to the bathroom. I come back up. I have a Bud Light seltzer, black cherry, if you care about the flavor. And I walk up the ramp up into left field. And I get my drink. And then I walk out. And then I decide that, you know, a hot dog kind of sounds good. So I start to walk that way. And the next thing I know, it's Miguel Montero and Jed Hoyer and, like, Miguel Montero's like posse, I guess, because it was like a group of like seven.
It wasn't the prospects, because a lot of the young prospects were there. PCA and Mervis.
Yeah,
and
yeah. I like, maybe it was, but I didn't recognize them. I recognized Miguel Montero right away. If I walked by PCA and Mervis, then I'm really gonna hate myself, because like I wish I had done more. I wish I would
have. Right,
like,
you should have thrown yourself at their feet.
I should have just, like, you know, at least said, hey, I've been following you guys all season. Like, I'm excited to see you guys next year, right? Like, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, all I noticed was Miguel Montero. Again, this was in, like, the seventh inning, so I was a couple.
And you didn't yell at Jed about anything. You didn't say nice job on Lechesky or
No. I didn't yell at Jed about anything. I did say, sup guys, and then that was it. That was all I had. That's all I could give them was sup guys. So I you know, I know we're kind of ranked kind of high in the baseball podcast in terms of rankings, but
right
if they're tuning in, like, yeah, you know,
you should have dropped a CHGO. You should have dropped sup from CHGO.
Well, I wasn't wearing like my hoodie of the version of the shirt that you're wearing. I just had this on, like, I'm ready to be heard again shirt. And like, I was thinking that too, like, man, they probably wouldn't understand the shtick behind it. And right. So like, I just didn't know what to do. I just let them keep going. But like, it was like one of those moments where I was like, wow.
So speaking of Jed Hoyer, he's got, obviously we've been talking about the pitching staff and Sampson and Assad before that, and tough decisions they're going to have to make with the 40-man this offseason, and hopefully some big additions this offseason. And of course, one of the first names that always comes up is Carlos Correa, as we heard about it all last season.
Ooh, we're going to talk about this guy.
Law, if you can pull up the interview yesterday after the Twins game against the White Sox, Correa was asked about the possibility of staying with the Twins and how they could secure him for the 2023 campaign, because he has the opportunity to opt out if he wants to. This is Carlos Correa.
I go to the mall and I go to the Dior store and I want something, I get it. I ask how much it costs and I buy it. So if you really want something, just go get it. So, yeah, I mean, that's, I'm the product here, and if they want my product, you know, they just gotta come get it. I go to the mall and I go to.
So
I guess now that I'm a little
humble,
go ahead.
He probably wouldn't say humble is his nickname.
No, definitely not. Yeah, definitely not. at watching that after having a few drinks in, it's kind of funny. But when you watch it sober, I promise you, it makes you feel a little like, what the fuck, bro? Type.
It was a little cringeworthy. It was a little cringeworthy.
That's how I felt last night. I sent it to the Cub Slack channel last night. And like, I don't know, man. Like, listen, he's a great player. He's young. And I was watching a little Twins White Sox the other day when we were at the office. And I, you know, a few of the ground balls hit the short. He fields them, throws them to first. And he makes it look easy, man. Like, this guy can field some routine grounders at shortstop, right? And obviously he's shown he can hit, but I don't know, man, like that mentality. I don't know if I want that mentality.
I will say this in
my clubhouse, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think it definitely turned some people off. Fam guys saying that exactly. Not everybody's going to be the way you want them to be. And if you're just hoping to get a bunch of, nice guys on your team, that doesn't happen very often. So he's still a great player. I will say this though. If you compare that on a team that's not going to make the playoffs, right? And he's saying that going into the offseason, the season's not over. Compare that to the interviews you've heard with Aaron Judge, who just hit 61 home runs and is with the Yankees, and everything out of his mouth is team. The whole home run record thing is all about the team. He doesn't want to talk about money. He doesn't want to talk about any of those things. That is what you're looking for. However, I will say, don't get too turned off by the Correa thing, because I was trying to think, now who would say that in a Cubs uniform? Well, actually, probably a lot of guys. Sammy 100% would say, like,
Sammy definitely would.
Sammy would have said it. And many people Sammy to at least come back and, you know, blow the kisses to everybody at Wrigley Field. So I'm not saying he's Sammy Sosa, but I'm just like,
the mentality and the attitude.
Crazy personality. And
yeah,
I don't know that Javi would say that, but Javi would.
You'd have something similar to it, though.
That would ooze out of Javi's pores a little bit, right? Like, so it wouldn't be exactly like that. It was a turnoff, but is it enough of a turnoff for me to not want him? No. Is it enough of a turnoff for me to say I like Bogarts or maybe Turner more? I haven't heard them say anything yet, but so far, maybe the answer is yes.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I sent in this Cubs Slack channel last night, and I was like, all right, I'll take Bogarts or Turner, or let's trade for Ohtani. Like, maybe I was overacting a little bit, but I don't know, man. Like, you know, one of the things about the 2016 team was that not only was that team super talented, and you had guys who could beat you all across the board, but also the vibe or the clubhouse like camaraderie, you could read it. You knew that it was something. And like, I don't know, what he said just kind of read me the wrong way. But at the same time, you know, you compared what he said was kind of like what Sammy was kind of like.
Sammy would say that in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat, right?
And I agree with you. I completely agree with you. I don't know.
It rubbed you the wrong way. I heard a Kevin Durant bite the other day where he was like, I know how good I am. Like, again, it just rubs you the wrong way. Like, there's confidence and then there's unnecessary confidence. I see BGDN LSD saying Cubs winning in garbage time September. Any team can do that. Not true. Look at the White Sox. It's not true. Like, do I think it's easier to do it now? Yeah, but they're doing it with a lot of young guys. And it hasn't just been September. It's really been since the All-Star break. Like, they're not bad. And there are a lot of reasons to be excited about what you're seeing in the future, especially if they spend the right money or make the right trades this offseason. Cody, we talked about your – what's that?
You can't fault them for the schedule they're playing, right? Like, I mean, they did just sweep the Phillies.
No, they beat the Phillies. They beat the Mets. Like, they –
2 out of 3, I guess.
They're taking out playoff teams too. We talked about your vibes, but the coolest thing to happen in the Cubs fandom area today was the drone video that Cubs Productions put together with the help of another company. And I'll just say this. I've never seen Wrigley Field the way they showed it to you. You can only see it that way with your eyes, and you could, it's as if they attached a GoPro to a sparrow or a pigeon or something, and it flew through all of Wrigley. It goes through the locker room. But I know Lawrence will say the same thing. It is so well done, and I want to talk about it more at a later date. But like, if you haven't seen it, go to the Chicago Cubs Twitter handle. It starts like above the L tracks, and it's Addison, and they mix in great. The audio doesn't necessarily always match.
I was looking for Cody at this part. Where is Cody here in Murphy's?
Am I in Murphy's?
I only have as a longtime TV person, I only have one thing that I could say I would like to see slightly different, and it's maybe the best video I've ever seen of anything like this, especially on social media. I wish they had gone back and redone it on a perfect blue sky day.
Yeah.
That's it. Like,
instead of a flat sky.
You don't get the warm, sunny this vibe right of Wrigley Field because it's a cloudy day. But
this part made me gasp out loud on the train.
When they went right through the fire truck.
Wow.
Like, Lawrence said he gasped. I almost dropped to my knees in awe. I was so like, what? What just happened? Yeah. Like, how did they pull that off? Now, here's where I start to think, like, at some point, I can't wait to ask somebody this. And I've done some digging with some of the photographers there, but they haven't told me. I don't believe it's just one shot. I believe there is some unbelievable editing in there. For instance, they go into the scoreboard from the side and they come out one of the holes when the guy takes the number down. I think that's maybe a spot where they edit.
Cool, right?
But it's unbelievable. And the audio is great. They go by Ernie Banks and you have the audio from Ernie and you have a home run call as you go by the wall and you hear the guys coming out and they time it again. There's got to be an edit before Seiya runs onto the field, because look, this is way before the game. There's nobody in the stadium, and 1 minute later Seiya Suzuki's running out to the field. So there is editing involved in it, but somehow they made it look like a drone spent 4 minutes just giving you a 4 minute tour of Wrigley Field. This part's incredible.
I look for Schwarber's ball up there on the
But now I see, I think it's sunny. I think it's sunny when they come out of the scoreboard here.
Look out, dude.
So when you get the flat, when you get the flash of the number coming down, boom, edit. No, it's still cloudy. And there's still nobody there.
Still gray.
But I mean, you're right, though. Like, there's no one in the crowd. And then at the
end, it has to be edited. It has to be. But the way it's done is absolutely incredible.
You get Brick House in there for this part. I mean, it's wild. It's amazing. I couldn't believe how well they did.
They time it up with Cole Wright saying something outside the stadium, like outside the marquee, which he's almost never there. He's in studio, but it'd be impossible to time that up with the other things going on. And say,
this part here, that was pretty cool. They go by the World Series trophy. I was like, wow.
Just down these random hallways that most people don't get to see, right? Like,
right.
And now you start heading towards the clubhouse. And then they take you through the clubhouse for a second. That's cool. Most people have never seen like wide views of the clubhouse. You see a guy up against his locker, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All this stuff's cool.
Oh, yeah. It's very cool. And then you go up to the dugout.
Admittedly, this is the first time I'm seeing like this part, because the part that I saw was the going through the scoreboard, and that was it. Because when I watched it, I was about to get my haircut. I was at the barber, and then whenever they called my name, I had to close the app, and I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll watch this later. And well, I never got a chance to watch it later, and here we are. This is second, like a first full time I'm really watching this.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, but see now the crowd is fully out there,
and you'll probably be watching this all weekend because it's so good.
Yeah.
But see, let's just say it had been I'm sure to set it up and get tons of work to get the shots set up and figure out how you're going to do them and what order you're going to do them. And this company is probably very expensive to try and line that up with. I to redo it just because it wasn't cloudy, you probably can't cancel the whole thing. But like on a day like today, where you saw the picture of Cody with his girlfriend and like the soft lights coming through the outfield, imagine Imagine that, just taking it up one more tick, or doing, I'd like to see him do it again for the next playoff, next time the Cubs are in the playoffs. Then you'll have absolutely something. But absolutely, this was incredible.
I'm going to get out of the way, but just so you know, we've got a Ryan Herrera sighting waiting to jump on. I don't know if you want to do an ad read or what you want to
do. Yeah, let me do one more game time here, and then we'll enter Herrera. Game Time, the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score your best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. You know, you might have dreamed it's sitting in a 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, maybe next to Cody in the bleachers. Floor seats so close you can just feel the sweat off the band. It's possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on seats you thought you never could buy, and you won't find a better deal this season on Bears tickets, that's for sure. Or Bulls, or Blackhawks, created by the fans for the fans, guaranteed lowest price. If you love CHGO, you're going to love the Game Time app, and it's the best way to support us. Buy your tickets when you go to games and concerts through the link in our podcast description or YouTube description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app. You're going to want to have it ready when you go to our next Bears tailgate. You don't have to have a ticket when you go out there. You have the app. You wait for the ticket prices to start plummeting, and boom, you break out the app. You go and you walk into the stadium right after the CHGO tailgate at Michigan and Roosevelt, which, by the way, I think you can start buying tickets for. We have tweeted it out at CHGO Sports. I retweeted it if you're looking for it that way. I know Cody went to the first one. I'm locked into going for the second one, which I believe is November
6th.
Is that right?
It's against the Dolphins. I want to say Dolphins game. That is correct.
Dolphins game. Go. They had a food truck. It was $34. All your beer, all your booze, get your car in there, everything. I mean, spectacular, right? And the food truck was carne asada breakfast tacos.
It was phenomenal.
The food truck was awesome.
I saw Stan's Donuts had boxes there too.
Yes. Yeah. Stan's Donuts. There were some Stan's Donuts boxes there. It was awesome. If I can be a guy who emphasizes it more, vibes were immaculate that day. And I got to hang out with not only my friends from CHGO, but also people who love CHGO. So it was a really fun day. It was the highlight of my weekend last weekend.
Cody and Ryan, men of the people.
Hello. Men of the
people. Hello. Here he is, Ryan Herrera. After a nice,
you had a long day. Really?
Yeah. Wow. It should be impressive that I got home and, like, you know, was able to do this show. I've been riding this show. I deserve
this. This has been a White Claw heavy show. They're not a sponsor, but they maybe could be based on this show.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that, honestly. Let's get that going.
What flavor again? Especially Cody, black cherry. Black cherry.
That's the only black cherry is the only one in my fridge right now. That's not because of me. That's because of the girl I live with. But also, it would be a good one because everyone knows how Pat Hughes does the White Claw ad,
right?
Whenever at the beginning of the game, like, right. Everyone knows.
You know what Pat Hughes did today? I told you I listened to the first like three batters of the game on the radio, and he was doing his uniform description, and he described the City Connect uniforms as snazzy navy pants. Snazzy. We still use the word snazzy. Nobody. I'm sorry. Snazzy navy trousers.
Oh,
now that
makes sense.
That, well, that's older than me, but it's a great description.
He can't not say trousers.
No, he has to say trousers.
Yeah.
Five games to go. Two for Mr. Herrera. Yeah. Two at the ballpark, right?
Two more home games.
By the way, I did want to say, before we get into post-game real quick, I said at the beginning, you know, this was the last Friday 120. Or is it? We're working on our off-season schedule. We've decided our podcast will now be hitting you at 1:20 during the week. 1:20 will be our start time. So
I like that.
We haven't decided if it's going to be I'll just say right now, we know it's going to be almost every day 1:20. CHGO Cubs podcast. I know that the Cubs-related one for sure will be on Sundays. I don't know if that one's going to be at 120, but the ones we do, whether that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or whether that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, those will be 120 starts.
That's awesome.
Perfectly
cut. I like it. Right? It's a great idea. You can wear that shirt.
That you got on right now. You have to wear it every time we do a podcast now. So I'm going to need a few more of these. What was said after the game? Because, Ryan, we did a lot of talking about Samson. We saw your tweet with the stats. We've been rattling off stats, and we both said, you know, we used to think of him as Mills 2.0, and we've had conversations just in the last month about how it may come down to a numbers thing for Samson on the 40-man roster, but I mean, this is seven straight starts now. Like, this is impressive. I don't know if I feel that way anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, we talked to Ross. We actually were talking about Samson with Ross pregame, you know, just talking about the run that he's been on coming into today, and you know, kind of looking back at when Samson was optioned near the end of June when the rosters went from a 14 pitcher limit to 13, and he became just kind of the odd man out. That Samson had, like, in the meeting with Ross when Ross was telling him he was being sent down to AAA. I remember Samson kind of had like the ask, like he kind of told him in maybe not too easy terms that he disagreed with the decision and felt that he deserved or felt like he should be in on the big league club. And obviously, I remember Ross talked about like he loved it. He loved the passion and the fire from him, as hard as the decision was to make. But when Samson came back up 5 days later, he came back up 5 days later, he kind of had a chip on his shoulder and realized he had to prove that he does belong here. And like you said, we've been talking about it since he kind of went in the rotation. Like, is this a guy that's going to stick around? Is he going to be a guy that gets, you know, DFA'd or traded or something to alleviate some of the 40-man or this 40-man crunch? But I'm kind of in the same boat as you. It's like, as much as we've talked about that, the fact that he just keeps going out there and putting up good performances, he's five straight quality starts. I'm kind of leaning, even when I wrote up about the 40-man crunch a couple weeks ago, I kind of had him on my it's like an I don't know section, like these guys are on the bubble. He may very well be on a lock. He could be a lock at this point because he's pitched so well. I'm not saying he is going to be in the rotation next year. We actually asked him afterwards, like what he envisions 2023 being, and he kind of said he's like, you know, whatever role they want me in, I'll do it. You know, he wants to be on this team. He said he thinks that they can, he sees them competing next year. And he wants to be a part of that. So whatever role he's in, whatever role they ask of him, he's willing to do it. Maybe it's just like a bullpen guy who started with depth when injuries happen, he hops in and takes over some starts. But all in all, he's doing it. Like he's proving he's the guy that's proving he belongs. He should be protected from the Rule 5 draft. Like he should be you know, on the 40 man through the offseason and even, you know, be on the big league roster on opening day next year because he's pitched so well. He really has pitched so well. And it's been, you know, eye opening because he's like, remember early on, it was like, okay, like this guy's, he pitched a couple good times, but you know, he's going to have a fall off here somewhere. It just hasn't really happened.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say like his velocity and stuff is not overwhelming. It's been his command of where he wants the pitches to go and knowing where he wants to put them and just painting lines the last like 5 to 7 starts. I mean, he only has 2 runs or less in 7 straight starts now. So even when it's not like a quality start, he's still not giving up a lot of runs. He's been that good. And I caught the very beginning of the post game show on Marquee with Dempster. And he's like, I love to see when he comes out and he's just kind of like he's painting first pitch strike on guys. I think it was 15 of, I wrote it down what it was today. 16 of 25 first pitch strike. I mean, that sets the table for any good pitcher. Like, you know, that's like Kyle Hendricks 101. That's Greg Maddux 101. If you don't have overwhelming stuff, and his velocity's gone up a little bit this year, but that's how you are effective at pitching in the major leagues. Get the first pitch strike on the guy, and it sets the tone for the whole at bat.
Yeah, just what he's doing, that's how you win a spot on a big league roster. To doing what he did when you're when you really come up and you're a fringe guy for most of the season, doing what he's done now is just how you keep yourself in the big leagues. And I mean, you know, hats off to him for taking the opportunity when they brought him back up, and he's really ran with it for most of his now 3 months in the rotation, but especially in September, like a 1.50 ERA. Like he's been really, really good.
Ross during the broadcast was asked about, again, the great plays with Ian Happ in the field. And he had said that he has not heard about having a vote for Gold Gloves this year, but the last time he heard, which was a couple days ago, he had heard that Happ was in the top two for left field, and he said he thought that Nico should be in that conversation at short as well, but he wasn't sure. I'd be surprised if one of those guys isn't a Gold Glover. It's very possible both are Gold Glovers, but I'd be surprised if at least Happ doesn't win the Gold Glove.
Yeah, I mean, well, Happ, I remember looking at the metrics yesterday because he had like two really good plays when Keegan was on the bump. He had a diving play kind of running in, and then obviously the one sliding into the wall. And I look at the metrics, and he's like second. And I don't remember if it was second in the National League or second in the majors at among left fielders, second in like defensive runs saved. He's near the top in like outs, like the, you know, all the defensive metrics that kind of help you measure how good you really are. It's not just the eye test, but even the eye test looks good. Like I, you know, we talked to Ian yesterday, and he kind of feels like he has put himself in the Gold Glove conversation because of the work. Obviously being able to stick at left field every single day for an entire season helps, you know, helps him learn the wall over there in left field. It helps him like just understand how, you know, the wind works at Wrigley Field in one position, that, you know, how the ball plays, stuff like that. But that all the work he's put in, you know, he thinks he's kind of made a case for himself. I know Ross feels the same way. And Nico too. Nico, I haven't looked at Nico or like the shortstop defensive standings in a while, but I know Nico was up there for a very long time. You know, he makes the routine plays. He surprises you with some really good plays. And I think there's a chance if Nico's in that top two. I definitely think at this point I could see both of them winning Gold Gloves. Maybe Happ a little more likely than Nico. Mm-hmm. But I could definitely see both of them. I would be surprised if, like you said, if at least one doesn't. But I could definitely see, you know, somehow them both winning it.
Yeah, yeah, that's a lot of competition at shortstop, right? So, yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, I could definitely totally see Ian Happ perhaps winning it, just because, like, you think of Gold Glove left fielders, you're like, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
All right, we want to get to the very exciting who you got standings here, because it's a big win for the old guy today. The young guys were caught napping.
I love the graphic. This is the best graphic.
We gave you vibes, and Ryan attempted to take wisdom after the start of the game, but before his at-bat. Fortunately for me, either way, he was 0 for 4 with two strikeouts. I don't believe Vibes is actually a player. And my guy was 1 for 4 with a run scored. So it looks like the Vibes, old man has.
Vibes do something, Luke. Vibes make us all happy. All right. Like good vibes makes Cody, everyone I think happy.
White Claw is what's making you happy right now. Not necessarily the vibes.
Whatever you want to say. I think vibes are immaculate on a Friday after a 120 start. And the Cubs have won 9 of the last 10, and getting to meet people out in left field and at Murphy's. I think vibes
win this one.
That you'll always have those vibes, but you'll never have the who you got win today. Where does this put the standings? Am I back within one now?
I wouldn't say. Here, let me. I'm bringing it up right now. All right, I won the last two, right? So,
yeah, I think I was down to one. Or
no.
At one point, it was down to one.
He's down to two. It's down to two. It's 27, 25, 21.
And with this one, it's down to one.
No, that's not how it works.
I don't know what's happening here.
I literally have it up.
The White Claws are blurring the computer screen.
No, I can't
see that I'm that close.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you right now.
Your extra point from Maverick.
Images in this
count.
Mirror may be closer than they appear.
I'll tell you right
Luke
now.
Luke wins, but. It's 27 to 25 to 25.
Five to go. Make sure you get your picks in for the weekend. Do we want to make a standing pick? You want to make a standing pick for the weekend just in case we don't get one in?
I'll take Seo for the weekend.
I'll take Nico.
I'll send mine in.
I still might change mine if I find out Nico.
No one took Hap, and everyone knows how he masses against the Reds. So there you go, Ryan.
He's not in Cincinnati though.
That's true.
Cincinnati.
Rhonda says I win. Thank you, Rhonda.
Yeah.
I gave you the point. It's
okay. All right. I got the point.
You got the point.
I'm not good at the magic number thing, but Cody's magic number is low. A low number with five to go.
Yeah.
There's gonna be a day on like Wednesday. I'm gonna throw all my chips on the table and be like Strowman for 20.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
There's a Twitter account out there called Cubs Magic Number. Uh-huh. And they just tweet every time like after every Cubs win or loss, and they tell you what the magic number is.
Can we get them to calculate who you got magic number for us?
I might have to DM them and ask. You know what I mean?
But like, the problem is we don't really know how many games are left because we all might miss some games, and then it's, you know, throws the magic number off.
I'm taking a save for the weekend, though. The guy's been mashing.
All right. Anything else, guys, before we head into what's supposed to be weather-wise a great weekend?
Ryan, please hit me up tomorrow. Would love to hang out with you finally in the Chicago city area. Thank you.
Sure.
He'll bring the White Claw.
Did we talk about Steel at all?
No.
I don't remember.
No, we did not.
I believe it was 2 days ago. Not completely shutting the door, but Ross kind of hinting like it's looking like they're not going to try to get him back to pitching again. Gotcha. On the other hand, Drew Smyly is starting tomorrow, feeling better. I believe Wade Miley threw a bullpen yesterday or today, one of the last 2 days. So he may get another start in there, but that's kind of where the rotation lies. Steele would be not technically shut down, but I think we can kind of go with that.
Sounds good. Cubs win 6-1. They've won 9 of 10, and they started the month of September losing 5 of 6. They finish it by winning 9 of their last 10. Off to a good start, and the bots are up, so we're checking out. Thanks.
The season total over is still alive. Once again.
71. Yeah, still alive.
We need 76, baby. Come on, let's win out.
Thanks for check it out, the CHGO Cubs Postgame Show podcast presented by PointsBet. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up to get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. Have a great weekend and fly the W.